Yeah, so particularly today we are talking about how God loves us, how we are valued, and how we are heirs to the kingdom. Our next slide. Okay, so usually when we think about love, Jesus loves me, this I know, because the Bible told me so, and usually points to John 3:16. For God so loved the world that he gave his only son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish, but have eternal life. And that's a big, powerful, important theological thing. But I think sometimes, next slide, it is a little bit too big. So when we talk about love, I'm just going to read this really quick and on your sheet. But just a show of hands, how many people know that they are loved by God? Okay, cool. How many people believe it?
We do half.
And how much is being loved by God a part of your identity?
I don't know how to raise my hand to that. Am I supposed to give you like 10 or
waste is zero all the way up the stairs.
Yeah, where are we?
There are probably percentages, not just a binary, and so really what I want to talk about today isn't just God loves us, but God loves me. Next slide. Because God so loved the world, but does God love me? That's kind of the real heart of what we're trying to get into today. And the answer is yes, spoiler alert. Next slide. So we're going to do an activity with the post-its. So I want everybody to write their name on each of the three post-its at the very top. Leave room for... Is there anybody online?
Kelly Tabbitt is online.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay, so I'm going to have to get a little bit creative.
I can have to go
on each page, right?
Yeah, each of them, yeah. Okay. Oh, shoot, I'm getting ahead of myself.
There's three of them, right?
Okay.
There's three.
Yeah, there is three. I got a little bit ahead of myself with the activity. So first of all, we were talking about, does God love me? So let's start with a important question. Who is God?
God, man.
Okay, I mean, Jesus was a man.
But God is a genderless being.
Yes.
Yeah, I'm definitely on that count.
He is the
I am,
huh?
Yeah,
the Alpha,
yeah.
Omega,
the beginning. Yeah, beginning of the end. Very big, right?
He's three in one.
Yeah, the Trinity.
God is love.
God is love, yeah.
God is life.
Except there's no dark side with
God. And are there midichlorians? I'm sorry.
I thought we all agreed to pretend those didn't
exist. Oh, sorry.
I was waiting for Katie to talk.
I thought Disney didn't get the message, but the rest of us all agreed that they
didn't. I didn't get the memo, but, that's what I get for not being a diehard Star Wars fan. Being told you're supposed to ignore canon, right?
You're supposed to... No.
Yeah. Canon is wrong. Okay, so we got a little bit off on topic, so God is our creator, God loves us, God made us, and God is, what are the three traits? Omni benevolent, all good, omni what?
Potent.
Omnipotent, all powerful,
omnipresent.
Omniscient, of all-knowing, but all these very big concepts, big things, but we also believe that God is personal, that as a part of the all-knowing, all-loving, that he is able to be with us and interact with us on a personal level. So, next question is, who are you? And... not necessarily expecting people to shout out with this, but just, there's a lot that makes up each individual, each of us. Both the good, the bad, the things we like, the things we don't like, And so when we talk about
hey, sorry
you
guys,
are...
just checking in. Sorry.
Hey, Vlad.
Yeah, we can hear you.
Cool.
We're excited to hear you.
Yay!
All right, I'm here, y'all. I'm here.
Yeah, you're fine. No worries. We're glad.
Okay. So, just trying to kind of put perspective on when we're talking about God loving you, God being all powerful but also personal, you, all of you. So, next slide. And this is kind of what we began, I jumped ahead of myself with. So, Katie, Vlad, and Kelly Curry, there's only
Kelly Toppin.
You are going to be a... Instead of writing name from postcards,
I did that, so
people in the room are going to pass their cards to people to your left and right. Anna, Sarah, you're next to each other for there, because we're playing by Pac-Man rules.
All three of them.
So you're passing one to the person on your right, one to the person on your left, and you're keeping one.
Okay.
And so,
I got
for those online, Vlad, consider yourself to have, you know, Vlad, Katie, and Kelly, Toppin.
If you can just say Kelly.
Kelly, yeah. But
yeah,
basically,
Kelly's in a different room.
All people in online have all three of those names. And, next slide. Basically, you're going to write a positive quality, just one or two words, that you see for each name you have, and saving your own name for last.
Just one word?
What if
one
you're
or
like,
two. What?
What if you're many?
Just one word?
I mean, if you really want, get through all three of them first and then go back around, okay?
Well, one word or just one statement?
One statement.
A positive quality is what the slide says.
However many words you need to make that happen.
Yeah.
Okay, always true.
So who's in the room with me?
It's you, me, Kelly, Vlad, so
yeah,
I don't know if you can see tight because I know you're on your thing, but you're doing a positive quality for Kelly T, yourself, and me.
Gotcha.
I've never met
Vlad.
Oh, he'll
like
that. It's chaos, right?
No.
Okay.
Always put the right one for ourselves.
Yeah.
I know that one was the longest.
That's the longest. And then do we do one for ourselves?
Yeah.
We don't like that part. Can you tell everybody?
I know. It's hard. I was hoping that by writing about other people, grease the wheels and make it easier for you to talk about.
I'm amazing. I'm pummeling about myself.
I mean, somebody told me last week I was a gift to the world, so.
It wasn't me.
No.
One of my coworkers called me somebody who didn't even know they were talking about me.
Well, you can write it down as you're positive, if that's what you think. I think.
I am funny. I am. I accidentally wrote two things about myself.
But
it was also
someone
who
couldn't hyperbole, so. Well, that's a little
bit.
I'm going to give you 30 more questions.
If you can't read it, it's in Latin.
Okay. pass the notes to the people whose name they belong to. And online, I'm hoping you already sent.
We got it.
Cool.
Yeah.
And
I need
to have place.
Cool. And just read over the ones you receive.
Thank you. Oh, geez.
Oh,
yeah.
No.
Oh, thank you. Thank you.
Everyone agrees for what you wrote. I love it.
Must be true then.
Okay.
And yes, I think he's well.
Okay.
Well,
so
yeah.
That, next slide. What does it mean to be loved by God?
It means to know that I am safe and secure, that I am accepted, encouraged. I am called to be changed and different. It means that I have a purpose.
Mm-hmm.
It means a lot to me.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yeah, yeah, absolutely.
Sorry if I still have room to do anything.
Yeah,
I couldn't stop. Like, I was like...
Okay, Jennifer?
I thought we could only do one word. But the first word that came to mind was forgiven.
Mm-hmm.
You know?
Yeah.
And that's kind of in Corpy. Katie kind of covered it.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah.
Vlad has his hand up.
Okay,
Vlad.
Couple words. Two words, unconditional love.
Yeah.
Second one would be like a parent's love.
Yeah.
Okay, yeah.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely.
And that's a thing?
Yeah, absolutely.
Oh, no.
Sometimes as a parent, I want to just knock the head off my kids sometimes.
Okay.
I mean,
you're
trying to.
That's what I think.
Okay.
Because no matter what my kids do, no matter what, even as an adult, even now, I'm pretty sure the parents that have older kids, no matter what they do, we're going to love them.
Mm-hmm. Right.
Kids. And we will never give up on them. A murderer is not a murderer to a mother. A drunk is not a drunk to a mother. They still see their little boy.
Yeah.
You know, so that's the kind of love I'm talking about, where we're forgiven at all times. No matter what, how many times we mess up or what we mess up in, we have this love and forgiveness. He just wants us to go to him.
Yeah.
I have a different tact. Uh-huh,
yeah.
When people ask that, the first thing that comes to mind for me is the C.S. Lewis quote, we are not necessarily doubting that God will do the best for us. We are wondering how painful the best will turn out for us.
Oh, very good.
Okay,
yeah.
Yep. There's definitely a little bit of that.
About life. Is there a word that's like the opposite of lonely? Because that's
ooh.
What it would be.
I mean, the word, it's not even the right word, but I almost
cherish.
Feel full. Like it's not. I mean, it doesn't really match. But just the presence of God, like
Is it cherry?
Cherish.
Yeah.
I like cherry better.
Hope it has a
fit, Katie. I'm trying to think vocabulary wise. I don't have a good one.
I don't know.
Google has sociable.
No.
That's not a good one. No, I don't like.
I like.
It gave me lots of synonyms.
Right.
all of Google can only come up with that. I'm just crazy. You're on to something.
There we go. Antonym and near antonyms. Accompanied. This is Merriam-Webster.
Uh-huh.
We had to give up on Google. Adjacent. Attended. Next door. Contagious. Adjoining. Neighboring. Connected. That's probably the closest attached.
Yeah, connected.
Connected is probably
the closest,
but even then, it doesn't really. It feels like not quite what you're going for. But no, I
really
like
love that they put contagious. Yeah. No, I was like,
it's not wrong.
Okay. So yeah, like that, all of that, and one of the things, the care of God isn't just feeling. Sometimes we talk about love and a lot of feelings, but they're also, I have to be very careful with this, because, there's the prosperity gospel, which is not what I'm going for, but God's care for us is not just feeling. Like, it's connected to all those things, but there is a... I don't know. I don't have I want to say material, but that's not really what I mean. I'm just gonna go to scripture because I feel like that that's just what I don't know. You know, again, not kind of lost for words, but Actually, Anna, would you mind reading? I think we got three slides. Would you mind reading this slide, and then Jennifer, and then Lee?
Then Jesus said to his disciples, "Therefore I tell you, do not worry about your life, what you will eat, or about your body, what you will wear. For life is more than food, and the body more than clothes. Consider the ravens. They do not sow or reap. They have no storeroom or barn, yet God feeds them. And how much more valuable you are than birds."
Oh, sorry. I was reading off of here.
"Consider how the wildflowers grow. They do not labor or spin. Yet I tell you, not even Solomon in all his splendor was dressed like one of like one of these. If that is how God clothes the grass of the field, which is here today and tomorrow is thrown into the fire, how much more will he clothe you, you of little faith?"
Yeah, that's true.
"And do not set your heart on what you will eat or drink. Do not worry about it, for the pagan world runs after all such things, and your Father knows that you need it. But seek his kingdom, and these things will be given to you as well."
"Do not be afraid, little flock, for your Father has been pleased to give you the kingdom. Sell your possessions and give to the poor. Provide purses for yourselves that will not wear out, a treasure in heaven that will never fail, where no thief comes near and no moth destroys. For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also."
Okay. I just want to take, 5 minutes to everybody just kind of read over the package and underline what looks attractive to you. For people online, the package is...
Oh, I have it. It's Luke.
Oh.
It's Luke 12:22-23. Or, I got you guys. We have it.
Cool. Thank you. Mm-hmm. Things that people observed. Jenna?
Oh, can I read what I...
Yeah, yeah.
"For life is more than food and the body more than clothes."
Yeah. What
I
do you think?
I think it's more than God doesn't care what you eat or how you eat.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, doctors do.
You know.
Find another way.
No. Yeah, you know, God doesn't care about what you eat. I mean... Or God cares, but it's more than...
Yeah, well, I think
it's
more than
we... It's not the
biggest
priority.
Yeah,
it's not the biggest priority.
Yeah.
My dad's uncle passed from a heart attack.
Mm-hmm.
And food wasn't his, big priority either.
Gotcha. I mean, there is definitely a, we need to take care of ourselves, and I have trouble with that.
Yeah, me too. And then did, who of you by worrying can add a single hour to your life? Since you cannot do this very little thing, why do you worry about the rest? It might not be obvious, but I do get worried all the time, especially when I'm working. Right,
mm-hmm.
Katie?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
I mean, I find it very obvious, but...
Yeah.
But I try to put on this confident persona, putting out fires everywhere.
But I think it's definitely a big part of this is that we don't need to work.
Mm-hmm. I did have something. The worry about what you will wear.
Mm-hmm.
I spent so much of my life doing that at the behest of men in charge of the church, who turned what women were wearing into the biggest part of their spiritual life.
Right.
So that always catches me. But then the other thing there's two other things that caught me.
Mm-hmm.
So there's the verse, "Who of you by worrying can add a single hour to your life?" The next part is, "Since you cannot do this very little thing." I can add an hour to your life. What it's no big deal. But you can't even do that. So why are you bothering?
Oh, no.
The other thing, though,
right
is that verse 31, "Seek his kingdom, and these things will be given to you as well." It dawned on me that when I read that verse, I get ADHD task avoidance. Like, well, now you told me to do it, and you told me you were going to give me a prize if I was good, so now I don't want to do it.
Well, if you read a little further, it tells you how to avoid that. No.
That's why I always react like that.
Right. Okay. No, that makes sense. Lee will say something.
It was basically why do you worry about everything?
Yeah.
Okay. But if your father knows that you need them.
Mm-hmm.
So that's how I put together. I think we spend so much time worrying.
Yeah.
Of situations of, you know, silly things, and we don't turn, you know, we don't lay that at Jesus' feet on a daily basis. And I think that's what we need to do.
Yeah, absolutely.
When you wake up in the morning, just make it his day, not your day. Mm-hmm. Ask what you can do for him today.
Yeah, absolutely.
Katie? What really stood out to me is, for your father has been pleased to give you the kingdom, and that pleased.
Yeah.
And like,
yep.
Just like, I was thinking about, like, my mother and I are both kind of gift givers, and there's nothing like, not everybody is a gift giver, and I have no, like, I'm not saying that, but like, when you are a gift giver, there are a few things better than like, when you get something that somebody really, like, you know, and that joy on their face.
Right?
That is like one of the best feelings in the world. Like, and just like the, cause it's like, I sometimes, you know, it's like, we are pleased to give or to do things for people we love, and we forget that, like, you know, God doesn't give his kingdom begrudgingly.
Right. Yeah. Yeah. Absolutely. Absolutely. Anybody online?
I have no hands raised.
Okay.
I'm sorry. I have a kind of question.
That's not allowed.
You just talked to the disciples here, right?
Well, so the...
Yes. It well, it says, then Jesus said to his disciples.
Okay, yeah.
Like, so...
Right, yeah.
Verse 33, sell your possessions and give to the poor. I guess I was kind of under the assumption that the disciples didn't really have any possessions. So why is he telling them to sell their possessions?
Mm-hmm. So, my... I know you said that. That's right. And the... Maybe I'm misunderstanding it, but like at the beginning of Luke chapter 12, it talks about a crowd, and so my reading of it, and Katie, you know, might say I'm wrong, and she overrides me, but my interpretation was disciples wasn't just the 12.
Okay.
And with people who are
following.
Yes, no, I completely agree. Like, there's the crowds, and there's the disciples, and then there's the 12.
Gotcha.
Like, the groups get smaller and smaller.
Right.
Yeah.
And then the other thing, too, is, like, well, I always think of Matthew, right? Because Matthew didn't sell everything because God was like, I need to have a party at your house today.
Right, yeah.
Like, and I'm just like, I'm waiting for that moment, guys, when Jesus is like, I must have a party at your house. But, sorry, that's the one I always think about when, you know, we talk about.
Okay.
But yes, agree, Luke.
Yeah, and it doesn't, and we're studying it, doesn't sell all.
Yeah.
It shows your profession.
Yeah.
You can put an all there if you want, but.
I guess I just, in my head, it was like they didn't have much to sell anyway.
Right.
Just like,
yeah.
Okay.
Except for Matthew, but
yeah,
you have. But you did have rich followers, too.
Sure.
Like,
absolutely,
eventually.
Absolutely, yeah, for sure.
And
well,
I mean,
just before that, it says, do not be afraid, little flock. So
yeah,
it's more than rich, I would think.
Yeah, yeah. It's definitely more than
what little flock.
That is
more
a good
than
question.
12.
Yeah.
Because it only takes like 3 to be a flock
of bees. But yeah, one of the things I kind of think about, like, it's not in this passage, but I think we're all familiar with the Lord's Prayer, with give us our day, our daily bread. And so, us in America, like, we tend to have a higher expectation of what baseline is, you know, what we consider a living wage is probably many degrees above what someone else in a different country would consider a living wage. What we consider a necessity really isn't. And so I think, you know, when, you know, God, you know, we talk about God providing for our needs, it's really, you know, our daily bread, the things that we need, not maybe our cultural expectations of what we need. And so, yeah. But I think all of it is definitely putting into perspective when we talk about material needs, what is important and what isn't, You know, talk about both God will provide and to crown your progression. I don't think they're, you know. What?
Need versus want.
Yeah. And so, you know, when
there's
we talk about God loving
us. God will give and God will take away.
What?
There's also God will give and God will take away.
Yeah.
So, but he will not, I don't believe he'll take away your daily breath. You know what
right.
I mean? He will
or
provide.
Will provide,
yeah.
Yeah.
And so we don't need that God like Solomon.
Yeah, yeah, and in court, yeah, yeah, like,
well,
yeah,
there's a lot of terrifying, there's a lot of contradictions, yeah.
Well, I don't see it as contradiction.
Yeah.
It's what your focus is on. Like, if you're focused on being decked out like Solomon, then you're never going to be decked out like Solomon, right? But if you're seeking God's kingdom, like, and it comes in different ways. Like, I go back to the verse, just for my life, where it talks about no one who's left family or homes or whatever won't be faithful. God will give you like tens and or 100 times more.
Mm-hmm.
And I think about in my own life, like God has called me to leave a lot. Like, and so like I left my family, I left California, left Texas, like I've left a lot of places, but like my family is tenfold. Like,
mm-hmm.
I feel that everywhere I go. Like, there are at least 7 states in this country where I could just show up at a door and I'd be welcome inside. Like, and that's a huge blessing. So like, it's not always being, you know, just to keep, like being decked out like Solomon doesn't always look like who we think it's gonna look.
Right.
Amen.
Yeah.
And I think that's an important thing to remember, because like, yes, when you seek his kingdom and you follow him, he provides, but it never really looks like what you think.
Yes, that's a very important point, yeah. It's not, but I think it goes, you know, God's love, God's care, and that word we don't know that Winston tried to point to, God's fullness in our lives.
Connectedness,
fullness.
Contagious.
What?
Contagious.
One of these things is not like the other. God cares for us. And it is more than just our physical means.
Amen, amen.
And what I was trying to get at, and I'm going to try in a template, I wasn't able to before reading this, but that God's care for us is real. And it's not just a one-sided, oh, I care about you, and, you know, I'll compare. but an actual care that has realness, even if it's hard to physically point to, oh, I got this from God, or I got this from God, you know, this is a Christmas present, where there's a label, you know, Christmas with a label on it, but the fullness in our lives is from God.
Mm-hmm.
And we can continue to put our cares to him, our trust in him, knowing that he loves and cares.
Well,
thank you. anything else before I go on?
I can't remember the verse.
Uh-huh.
I think it's in James, but
you
just really reminded me of it.
Yeah.
I was trying to look it up, but I don't have it quoted well enough. But
okay. Yeah.
The one where it says, like, you know, if you tell someone, when you said, like, God has actual care, like, and we're commanded to do that too as well, like, when someone sees someone who, like, doesn't have food, and we're like, well, blessings to you!
Yeah, yeah.
And then, like, we don't provide food, it's like, James basically says, what good are you? Like, I don't have the right words, but, like, it's the same way. God isn't going to treat us like that.
Right.
He doesn't say, bless you, and you can starve. What?
Right.
Like,
yeah. It's
like,
not a, God will definitely give you this, but it is a care and a wholeness that...
Or, like, have fun.
yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Let's go to the next point and slide, which is actually one that... point out, do not be afraid, little frog, for your father has been pleased to give you the kingdom.
Mm-hmm.
And so, you know, the title of this is Valued Heirs of God, and I just kind of want to talk about that, is that it's not just our material wholeness, and it's not just the care and wholeness, but we have been given and are co-heirs of the kingdom of God.
Mm-hmm.
And been going to scripture a little bit before getting more into that. Actually, Jenna, would you mind reading? And then Jenna, Winston, and if they're preferred one, Clara.
For those who are led by the Spirit of God are the children of God. The Spirit you received does not make you slaves so that you live in fear again. Rather, the Spirit you received brought to about your adoption to sonship. Yay! And by him we cry, Abba, Father.
The Spirit himself testifies with our spirit that we are God's children. Now, if we are children, then we are heirs, heirs of God and co-heirs of Christ. If indeed we share in his suffering in order that we may also share in his glory. I don't know. That sounds funny.
Okay, I'm going to go to the next slide because I want to read this again, but first I want to make a few points. So, adoption to heir and sonship, and it takes full rights, privileges, and responsibility. And it's very important because I know this can be like a roadblock for like over half the people here. But this is for all believers, not just males. Like in Romans 12, which is 2 verses, or Romans 8:12, 2 verses above, it says brothers and sisters. You also have similar language in Galatians 4, which also uses similar heir type language. But from what I was able to gather, the reason it specifically says sonship and not children is because. Basically, because of patriarchy, because of misogyny, but not in the way you think. In the culture at the time, there was a distinction between son and daughter.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, when we're talking about full rights and privileges, you know, being an heir, you are an heir like a son would be in that culture. So even though... So ladies, you are sons of God. I just wanted to, because I know that can be a roadblock to people. I just want to be very clear that Paul is addressing both male and, well, all believers. And so it's not, you know, sonship here is not maleness, it is position.
A legal term.
Yeah, effectively, yeah. Yeah. And it's a sign of the time that it was a male, you know, male associated, but...
Well, couldn't only the sons be heirs?
Mm-hmm.
Effectively. At that point. But, again, Paul is addressing all believers and saying, you are co-heirs, you are heirs, you are adopted into sonship.
Mm-hmm.
Quick questions about that specifically before we reread the passage.
Reread?
Yeah, we're going to read it again just because I know that can be a roadblock. I'm like, I just want to... I want to address that before we get back into it. And, Katie, would you mind just going back to... Okay, and actually...
Sarah,
and then I will read the second one.
For those who are led by the Spirit of God are the children of God. The Spirit you received does not make you slaves so that you live in fear again. Rather, the Spirit you received brought about your adoption to sonship. And by him we cry, Abba, Father.
The Spirit himself testifies with our spirit that we are God's children. Now, if we are children, then we are heirs of God, and co-heirs with Christ. If indeed we share in his suffering, in order that we may also share in his glory. Okay, so you kind of gave the, ooh, that doesn't sound fun.
Doesn't suck.
No, it doesn't.
How painful will that turn out?
That goes along with that all rights, privileges, and responsibilities. I like the rights and privileges. What is that? Great power, great responsibility. Come on. We are invited and adopted into God's kingdom.
Yes.
And so when we actually think, Because jumping ahead to next month, we're talking about, like, I think the topic is actually revolution! But...
Your revolution?
Revolution.
Oh.
But, you know, the kingdom of God. We are heirs to the kingdom, but we are also part of the kingdom. We are told to build it. We are told to be a part of it. And... You know, going back to that fullness, wholeness that we get from God, like, we, by being a part of the kingdom, by being a part of the body of believers, we both partake and share that. And that even goes back to, like, our mission statement. We are called to both experience and to...
Embody,
thank you. Embody the love of God, love of Jesus, together in a hurting world. And so, you know, that's how our church has tried to put into words this, you know, being the kingdom. And, yeah. Any thoughts, questions, concerns? Jennifer?
You know, I hate to bring up, but
yeah.
Having experienced a few things.
Yeah.
It's like, but it's not... A daily. Sometimes I don't feel love, or
yeah.
I don't feel like an heir. But
yeah.
Then I come back, and maybe it'll be tenfold better. You
right.
Know?
Yeah.
You know, it's kind of a process.
Well, yeah,
you
it's
know,
not
before you.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you get that. Mm-hmm. I think sometimes.
Yeah, I mean, like we talk about, you know, God giving us our daily bread. There are people who do not eat every day.
Yeah.
And some of them are a believer. we are in our country, we are very blessed, we are very wealthy. Most people, if they hit hard times, can find something to eat here. That is not the case everywhere.
People are in prison.
Yeah.
In countries and don't eat
everything. Yeah. So, yes, we're all going to be happy every time, every day. Yeah. I mean, but even the baseline of that, we're not even going to be satisfied all the time. This
like
world
that.
Involves pain. Our world is hurting. And honestly, you know, I talked about, you know, the good part about being a part of the kingdom. We got the bad parts too, you know, together in a hurting world. Like, our world is hurting. And if we are to be, and we want to, God's kingdom to be a part of our world, we need to join in with the suffering of the world. We can't just ignore that. And then I think that even goes into the suffering of Christ, like, you know, it is not just a one-sided, we get all the blessings. As a part of us being the kingdom of God, as a part of being heir of God, as a part of us being loved by God and each other, we are told to love and walk with people outside of our circles in the same way.
Because mm-hmm. When it says share in his suffering, it's like sometimes he suffered when he saw people in
mm-hmm.
need or hurting. You know, maybe he may not have touched that, or he was
yeah.
well aware
yeah.
that there
yeah.
was suffering and hurting going on. You
yeah.
know,
yeah.
and that sometimes just hurts.
Yeah,
and
then like...
hurts a pain.
Yeah, and it's not just an emotional pain either. Like, there's a reason it talks about selling your possessions. That, I mean, I'm not saying you have to sell everything, but this isn't just a give from your excess. There's a reason, like, I don't know if you guys are familiar with the story of, like, the old woman who gave her 2 cents and she raised her, but it specifically says it gave from all she had, or gave all she had. So it wasn't just a giving from the excess. It was a divin from the baseline, and she probably missed a meal or two because of it.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah.
It also occurs to me, as you were saying, that nowadays we can sell things online and maybe have one email, but selling everything you have would have meant spending a lot of time with a lot of people
mm.
in your community.
Mm.
That's true.
Yeah.
Meeting a lot of different people, because it's very unlikely that one person wants to buy everything you have.
Yeah.
And then everyone would be like, why? Why are you doing this?
Yeah,
okay.
Yeah.
And that. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Conversations.
Yeah. other thoughts on what does it mean to be heir of God and co-heir of Christ? I feel like I was very one-sided with that, but...
I think it's important to remember, like, that being an heir is an inheritance and, like, of a kingdom,
yeah.
Right? Like, and, you know, I know it's, I've heard the expression, of course, I'm a princess, my father's the king of kings or whatever, and that's,
yeah,
like,
yeah.
Trite. But, like, I do think we are princes and princesses, and it's not floof. It's the responsibility. You know,
yeah.
It is
yeah.
the, like, there's good
there. There's honor and all that.
Yeah, like, it's not just, like, you know, pretty dresses and fancy formal wear, which I think, like, when you think kings and queens, I think, like, you think more responsibility. But, like, prince and princesses still had roles to play. So, one, there were expectations of how you behaved in society as a prince or a princess, as royalty. And then also, there is power there. And, like, the reason we have a kingdom, right, is because God's the only good. Like, you know, and I think there's a reason that so much of fantasy loves this idea of a good king, right? Because, like, I think of King Arthur or Aragorn
yeah.
and things like that. Because, right, like, that's... If you have one good person, right, that's a leader, that it's great to have a king. Right? Like, it really is. Or queen. Right? But the problem is, in the real world, we're all sinners. But, like, that,
I would also argue that it's not, benevolence alone isn't going to give you a prosperous kingdom.
No, but I'm talking about, you're making this way too much of a, I'm trying to make, but my
sorry,
point
sorry.
Being, like, there's a reason God is the only king, right? There's a reason we're an heir.
Yeah.
And not, you don't get to be equal with God.
Mm-hmm.
But I do think, like, we forget about the, like, one, First Peter or Second Peter has the, you are a royal priesthood, right?
Mm-hmm.
And, like, that, I remember hearing, what does royalty do? You know?
Mm-hmm.
And, like, really thinking about what that means for us as heirs.
Mm-hmm.
That you are royalty in God's kingdom.
Yeah.
And, like, that should affect how we act around others. It should affect, you know, things we say, what we do,
mm-hmm.
etc. And what we have access to.
Explain what you mean by what we have access to.
The spiritual power.
Oh, okay. Gotcha. Cool.
I think, too, you got to remember, if we're heirs to a living God.
Mm-hmm.
That means we're always going to be accountable to God. God's not going to step down and it's going to be our way.
Yeah.
So,
we never
there is
king.
No, I can't
just
wait to be king.
Yeah.
That song is so sad when you really think about it. Sorry.
Yeah.
On the plus side of that, when we are hurting, Christ is hurting.
Yeah.
I think we have to remember that. And that's when the love factor really comes in with that.
Yeah. Any other thoughts about what it means to be an heir and co-heir with Christ? So now the kind of practical question. And this is, honestly, I would like feedback on this, but how can we make God's adoption a part of our identity?
This is something that I sometimes struggle with, but being kind.
Yeah, no, yeah.
Because some people are difficult.
Yeah.
And also, like, loving on people.
Mm-hmm.
Because
mm-hmm.
I definitely don't love everyone I'm around.
I
love you guys, but, like...
Yeah, no, I got
it.
People are hard, okay? We understand. People are hard. We are told to love our enemies, and even our... We don't know them, but, you know, our neighbors. But it is hard. Okay, that we do not want to deny, we don't want to just floof it and be like, oh, I love everyone and not do anything, you know?
I love mostly everyone.
Right. It's the hard people that are hard, but.
I think for me, and it's something I've had to learn, is to be confident and bold.
Yeah.
Because it's, he is my God, he is my,
mm-hmm.
you know, and I can trust him in all situations.
Yeah.
And I think that a lot of people that are at loose ends, don't have anything to believe, don't have trust. They don't have that. yeah. belief in doing yeah. something.
Yeah, and I don't think like we can just say, oh, I'm going to trust because I'm going to, I want to trust her, therefore I'm going to trust. That's not
oh, I
mean,
or I want to do what I want to do, so I'm going to trust God's got me.
Well, yeah. Well, that was what I was referring to. I mean, there's that too. But what I was just referring to is that we cannot will ourselves to trust. We cannot
no,
just
yes,
flip
yeah,
a switch and go, I trust.
Right.
Oftentimes, it's a building up of we trust with little things so we can trust in big things.
This is a little semantics, but when I was reading this question again and thinking about it, I'm going to say we can't because it already is. You can't make it a part of your identity because it is your identity. But how do you walk in it? And that's like, I know that's like a very small thing, but as I'm trying to answer this question, you know, I was thinking about that.
Yeah.
And it's like, how do we, like, whether you believe it or not, it's true, right? It's one of those things.
Mm-hmm.
And, like, how do you accept it? How do you believe it? How do you walk in it? And I think that's, you know, an important thing. And to remember, because sometimes I know for myself, I just have to accept that things are true that I don't always believe.
Right.
It's kind of like, you know, X-Files, the big thing was, I want to believe. Like,
mm-hmm.
that was their,
yeah.
you've never watched it, that's the poster, that's the sign, I want to believe.
Noah's Ark.
I believe in Noah's Ark.
Okay.
sorry, but like the way to make it or to we have to start walking in it, which means like we accept it as truth.
And
for
maybe part of our lived identity.
Ew, that's I like that. Lived identity.
Okay. Now for going semantics. Adoption. Is this, were the Jews adopted, and are we specifically talking about Christian believers when we say adoption? Jews were already the son of, or the children of God?
Kind of.
Okay.
There's a part about, talking about, like, drafting in, you know, I talk about us Gentiles being drafted in, like, a branch of an olive shoot, and referring to, Jewish Hebrew people being, the natural offspring. They're come on herself too.
The important thing to remember is adoption is like Jesus was adopted. Like, and I say that because he's adopted by Joseph. Like, and he's considered part of, even though he's adopted and not Joseph's blood, he's considered part of Joseph's line. And we are called, you know, that adoption, there's kind of like the overarching, like, yes, God made all of us, you know, so like in that way, everyone's kind of a kid, but like of God, but like there's the adopted family of God, the believers. It's a little bit different.
Yeah. To me, all of a sudden, that's really kind of a lot more to it than just saying, yes, I'm a believer, you know?
Yeah, there is. Absolutely.
There's a long history of adoption in scripture. I couldn't tell it to you right now, but
adoption
is like, I think it's beautiful, and it's a part of our identity, and it's part of Christ's identity. It's that, like, there's that saying that everyone never finishes, where it says blood is thicker than water. But the saying is, the blood of the covenant is thicker than the water of the womb. So the whole saying is, the Christian community is stronger than your people you're biologically related to.
Okay, so for adoption then, are they saying you forsake your other
it's the whole kind of thing, you have to love God more than you love your husband or your children or anything like that.
I mean, like, even like baptism has a certain symbolic death to it.
Yes,
leaving the old, we talk about,
she
must die for, you know, like, there's a lot of death and rebirth imagery and metaphors and stuff in there. So,
yes.
Yeah.
The short answer is yes, but not in the way you think. Like, it's not I'm never talking to any member of my family who doesn't believe again.
Right.
Type of death.
No, some people do have to walk that path. So,
yes.
Okay, per individual, there are some people who have had to leave family to pursue travel.
Well, and then it becomes really important for it to be part of your identity because it's such a big, people that weren't, the pagans at the time and everything. I mean, when you were gentle and you adopted Christianity,
yeah.
it needed to be part of your identity because there was nothing differentiated, like the Jewish people had
mm-hmm.
certain customs or dress or whatever, that
right.
they could acknowledge them.
Just to go out into a culture there's definitely some level of, protection, but there's a level of, by making it, and like, I know Taylor's is like, it is a part of your identity, but I think, kind of going out back to the first three questions, we know we are loved by God, but sometimes we don't believe it in our heart,
mm-hmm.
whether that's because of outward things, or just there are things where, yes, it is true, but we haven't made that a part of us. It might be a true spiritual reality, but in our mind, in our sense of self, we don't always live that out. Yeah.
Do you think maybe that's because we're human and we are so used to feeling?
Mm-hmm.
We feel that we have felt love, but it's hard to feel something when the person isn't in front of you.
Yeah, I mean, the whole, Jesus working on, I'm like, right, okay. Meme on top of meme. But, basically the idea of, sometimes God being spirit means that we don't feel it as real as we would like. And I think that's where the community of Christ, the kingdom of God, the body of Christ, where and why we are called to embody Christ in this world, because you can conceptualize, but you literally cannot see as in light in your retina and being translated by your brain an invisible God. Obviously there are kinds of visions that some people are lucky enough to have, but many and most of us do not have that in our waking life, and that's why we need each other.
Kind
of one of the challenges this week is to kind of, but one of the challenges is to kind of trust a little bit, pray on that. But okay, quick little thing, a bit of perspective, a little bit of, not quite stepping back, but perspective. Because sometimes when we talk about being heirs of God, there is at least sometimes a danger of pride. So perspective, we are heirs to God, but, we have honor, privilege, all this stuff, but just remember, in a relationship with one another, have the same mindset as Jesus Christ. And being in the very nature of God did not consider equality with God something to be used to his advantage. Rather, he made himself nothing by taking on the very nature of a servant, being made in human likeness. So just, that is the, this isn't really the lesson, but it is definitely a, and I think, unfortunately, too often we are, as humans, either going to one extreme of, extreme pride or extreme humility, and we need both. And we can look to Jesus for that dichotomy, how you live that out. And, yeah. So I don't want this to take away from you being heirs, you being loved, all that, but it's just kind of a, just remember, within that context, we also have this humble example in Jesus. So next, or any questions before we move on? Okay, next slide. And so, in summary, God loves us. God cares for us. We have been adopted as co-heirs with Jesus. We can love this. Live this out with confidence and humility. And then application, take time this week, sometime, to read over the notes you received, including the one you received from yourself, and reflect and consider how you are a beloved child of God, how you are an heir to the kingdom, and how, and maybe, like I said, you can't just flip a switch and say, oh, I trust God. We trust God, but we trust God by trusting God. I know that's not very helpful, but we can trust God in to the extent that you're able to trust God, and that will increase your faith. I think that's what I need.